Let's turn over there, if you guys will, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This verse is really loaded with truth. It's a verse that we use quite often as believers in Christ. And if you're here and you've trusted Christ as your Savior and Christ alone, this passage is talking to you. Paul wrote this passage to the church at Corinth about 6 months to a year after the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul had sent Titus to deal with some issues that was going on in the church in Corinth. And one of the issues was unity in the body. And that's why this Christmas program that we put on is so cool, how the body comes together and is unified and working together for the gospel and for to see people be saved. And this is an issue they were having. And also one of the other big issue that Paul was addressing here was false teachers. So what was going on there was the false teachers come out in chapter 11. We're not going to read all these verses, but I'll summarize it for you. Chapter 11, starting in verse 13, these false teachers were saying that that Paul, he was not a true apostle. So he was defending his apostleship. Paul was, they claimed he was a proud man. He was not attractive in look and speech, and he was not honest. So he was unqualified to be an apostle, which was totally untrue. And so Paul was defending that apostleship in this passage. And the latter part of the chapter 11, Paul talks about some physical experiences he dealt with in defending the truth and in being an apostle of Christ. And what's kind of ironic even, or not ironic, but really kind of funny, that Paul even mocked these people in verses 19 and 20. He was sarcastic and mocked them. And so he was a person that was having a true love affair, a true relationship with Christ, and Christ was working in and through him. And these people they had him up on a target, and they were poking at him all they could. This book of 2 Corinthians is said to be the most autobiographical of all the books that Paul written. It was the most about him and his personality of all the books written. And Paul here in the beginning part of chapter 12 talked about a heavenly experience that happened. And you notice here as he talked about this heavenly experience that he never ever mentioned himself, that he was the one going through this experience. He talked about it in like a third person. But different people, as you read about it, say that he did, or it was a vision, or we don't really know. But what was really cool is that he said in verse 4 that how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words that is not lawful to utter for a man to utter. So, I mean, Paul was definitely a special person that was dealing with very serious things and very serious issues in the church. So Paul, now if you get down to verse 7, we see verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul here said, because of all of these things that have happened to me, of these revelations that I've had, these experiences I've had, being caught up into heaven and hearing these inexpressible things, that he was he was exalted above measure. So he was put up on a pedestal, and he said that because of this, that God allowed Satan to buffet him with a thorn. And the word here, thorn, is the word scallops. It's perhaps a form of base. And what the important part about this is figuratively, it's a body annoyance or a disability. It's a thorn. It's something, it was a physical ailment that was given to him by God through Satan. God used Satan here to give him this thorn. And this thorn was given to him to bring him down. And as humble as Paul was, you talk about humble people, he was a very humble person, but even as humble as he was, because of his revelations and because of his knowledge of God, God giving this thorn through Satan. And we don't really know what the thorn was. There's lots of speculation what it was, and the reason why that they do not specify, or Paul did not specify, in this passage was, because then we would also could say that, hey, I had the same thorn as what Paul had, you know, and you could brag about it. And this was all about an ailment that brought us down to a level to where we had to look up to Christ instead of being proud of ourselves. You know, God gives us thorns, doesn't He, in our life to keep us from becoming proud. To keep us from becoming proud. Isaiah 55:8, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Psalms 18:30 says, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust Him." So, this thorn that was given to Paul was given to him by God, and it was done because of what God felt that Paul needed. Obviously, as we go through life, life gets pretty difficult sometimes, and every single day we could have something happen to us. We could have a thorn be our back, or some kind of body ailment, or a wrist or a hand or a leg or a foot, or something that brings us down to a level to where we're only looking up towards Christ. As believers in Christ, you know, we live a life of promises. We base our faith on promises, not expectations. You know, God didn't give a long description of what this thorn was, and the reason why He didn't is because He gives us promises that generate faith, and faith strengthens hope, and obviously our hope is in the Lord, isn't it? Now we get on to verse 9, our memory verse. I trust everybody has this memorized. "And He saith to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You notice here, the first observation here is, "And He said to me." Paul was having a relationship with Christ. He was walking, he was abiding in Christ, he was in the will of God, and he was speaking to Christ, and Christ was speaking to him. And what he said was, "My grace." Grace is a word that we are very familiar with. God's riches at Christ's expense. And you notice that this same grace that he's saying that is sufficient for us in our everyday life is the same grace that in Ephesians 2:8-9 that we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior by, isn't it? The word here, sufficient, is the word archaeo. And what this means basically is to be content, to be enough, to suffice, to be sufficient. So what he's saying here is that my grace, my riches at Christ's expense are sufficient for you. These words "for you" are very specific. They are directed directly to us, to you. The words here, "for my strength is made perfect in your weakness," is actually translated in NIV. I didn't put that up here, but it is being made perfect. It's in a continuous process. It's a daily process that we all go through, that my strength, or my grace is being made perfect in your weakness. This continuous process. You know, we don't know what God has for our life, but we do know one thing. We know that our God is good, and we need to trust in what He says. The word here, strength, is dunamis. It's from the word which means force, literally or figuratively, specifically miraculous power, power, strength, mighty work. This word is some 120 times used in the Word of God. The same word, strength here, is also used in the latter part of verse in the power of Christ. The power and strength is the same word. In weakness here is, in our weaknesses, this word is, I don't think I put it up here, but it means to be feeble or to be diseased or impotent. Sick, weak. This word is only used one time. So this thorn was dealing specifically with some kind of physical ailment that was directed just at Paul and at us as believers in Christ. You know, we need to realize that when we're weak, then we need strength, then we look to Christ. If we don't see a need to look to Christ, then we never do, do we? So we need to be brought down to a situation in our life to where we're looking up to Christ so that we're weak and therefore we can be strong. Just like our justification. You know, we're not able to save ourselves. We needed Christ to save us, and now we need Christ to help us go through our daily life. The second half of the verse now is Paul responding. Paul said in the second half of the verse, therefore. The word therefore means, obviously, because what was said previously, now Paul is saying, therefore, because that your grace is sufficient for my trials, I will rather boast in my infirmities. You know, that word boast there, in this passage of Scripture, if you go back into chapter 11, it's used some 38 times. There was an issue here. These false teachers were boasting about what they were doing, and Paul was saying, you guys ain't got nothing. I mean, you guys haven't done anything. Look at all this stuff that I've done. I've physically been persecuted for Christ. He didn't say I've been to heaven, but he boasted in the fact that whatever he did was for Christ and for God. So he was boasting about his love affair with Christ, not about what he did in a physical realm as far as the body of believers and what these false teachers were trying to do. So he said here, I'd rather boast in my infirmities. These infirmities are obviously the thorn or anything like the thorn, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power here is the same word that we talked about as strength. It's dunamis. It's power, miraculous power. And what is the limit to this power? I mean, is there any limit to this power? The answer is no. I mean, this power of Christ is limitless. This power saves us from a hell we deserve and gives us an eternity we can look forward to as he promises to us in the future. So that being said, in verse 10, take a look at this. And this to me was the most important part of this passage of Scripture. Verse 10, he says, therefore again. Therefore, because of my grace being sufficient with the thorn that you had, and that the power of Christ is resting upon you, he said, therefore, then I will take pleasures in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecution, in my distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. You can see that Paul was resting in these promises that God gave him, that his grace was sufficient for this thorn that he had. So now he can look at it as a much more broad picture, saying that, hey, your grace is sufficient for everything in my life. And that's the true attitude that us as believers should have, right? That because life hits us in the face every single day. We run into difficulties and trials, and life can change on the drop of a hat. And if we're responding to that situation through what we've been taught and what we believe in through Christ, instead of reacting in a way that our flesh would, then obviously it's much more easier that we can, because we know God's promises. We know that someday we're going to be spending eternity in heaven with a new body, aren't we? I think I put this on your sheet here. A couple of things here we can look at real quick. A humanistic viewpoint. When you're going through a trial or you're going through a difficulty, is people or yourself figure that, boy, I must be in God's judgment. I'm doing something wrong. But the divine viewpoint, as we look at this, is to say, hey, God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. Our memory verse. Another one, why me? You become bitter or you become, you know, pitiful. Why me? This was something that David said in Psalms chapter 13. You know, he said, you know, how long is this trial going to last? I've been going through this trial for all these years. Lord, when's it going to end? In Job chapter 23:10, Job went through this trial where he lost everything. And Job said, but he knows the way I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Another one is, I mean, this is for us guys, this is a big one. I have a plan. I got this, Lord. I can handle this trial. I don't need any help. I can get through this one. And God said, the divine viewpoint is, hey, I got a better idea that'll work. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is always death. Another one is, I don't want trials. I mean, I don't want to deal with this stuff. I just want to go through life and live a comfortable life and be happy and everything be good all the time for me. And God says, no. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let the patience have its perfect work, so that we're molded. We're molded and we're growing in Christ. And the last one here is when that's cut off there. When the good things are happening in your life, you know, we feel that we're being blessed. So when things are really good in your life, thinking, wow, you know, Lord, blessing me for what I'm doing. And that's not at all what he says. What he says is that, hey, if every branch that bears fruit, I'm going to prune it. I'm going to bring you down to size and humble you, because a humble heart is looking to Christ, not looking to ourselves. And also in James chapter 1, verse 12, is blessed is a man that endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised us and love him. You know, this pastor scripture can really crank you up and float your boat, because life is tough. I mean, life can change, and Lynn can tell us all how fast it can change. You know, I dealt with some of it myself, and it's no fun. I mean, it's life. But it's the way we respond to things when they happen is the difference. Are we responding to Christ? Are we having a relationship with Christ where we can say, hey, you know, this is your grace is sufficient. I know this is miserable. I know this is tough, but I know you got my back, Lord, and I'm thankful for that. So I hope you've got that verse memorized, and I hope this made sense to you. I think we're out of time. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this pastor scripture. I just thank you so much for the Apostle Paul. What a leader. What a great apostle that wrote this pastor scripture, that we can be inspired every single day by the power of this verse. And we pray, the Lord, that we would understand that we can have the power of Christ rest on us every single day as we're abiding and walking in your will and realizing how you're working in our life. And when bumps hit the road and things get tough for us, that we can respond, Lord. And we're just thankful for this body of believers. We're thankful for this time of the year where it's difficult for a lot of people that are spending Christmas alone. We just pray that they would be resting in your promises also and looking to the future. And we pray, Lord, that you would come quickly, and rapture us home. And Lord, again, thank you for this night, and thank you for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Shut it off.